Welcome to the Subversive Scribe Podcast, where we investigate the Hebrew Bible, Genesis through Chronicles, its instructions, teachings, and application. Learn how to interpret it correctly in context. Compare what it says in one part with another part, including and especially the New Testament. Let the text speak for itself in all its glory and in all its gore. Let the law, prophets, and writings be shield and spear. All it takes is the courage to hear it, seek it, and then decide on how you shall then live. The choice is always yours. I'm your show host, Jesse Heschel, and I invite you, even dare you, to join me on this journey on the Subversive Scribe Podcast. The biblical texts were always dangerous and subversive when allowed to speak on their own terms. Join the Scriven Insurgents, and let's get started with today's episode. All right, welcome to the Subversive Scribe Podcast. I am your host, Hesh. And let's talk about and continue on our discussion on hermeneutics. And this episode is called Straight is the Way. Peshat is the Biblicist meaning. And I'm going to explain in further detail what I had discussed in the maybe an overview introductory podcast on hermeneutics, which is one of my favorite topics. And let's get into it. So who wants to be biblical? So clearly, believers of all stripes, regardless of whether you're Jewish or Christian, you want to be thought of as correct. You want to be right. You want to be true. You want to hold things and beliefs that are true. You want to be biblical in that regard. Now, I've yet to see a statement of faith indicating where they are failing or where there isn't clarity or understanding. Organizations, churches, synagogues, other religious organizations don't release statements of faith saying things like, well, we kind of sort of believe these things, that it's possibly that this thing might be true. We have a generous view of whatever you want to believe if you join our group. Now, of course, may include the universalist type of churches where it doesn't really matter what your religion is, but you know, you can get a minister's license and marry people. If you recall in the last couple of episodes, especially the foundational one, I talked about hermeneutics and specifically ways that the Hebrew Bible is interpreted and how that matters. That's what it means to interpret correctly or to be biblical. This whole episode is based on the point that the way to be biblical is to take the Peshatist route of interpretation. If you remember, in the acronym that is used is PARADISE. That is a, of course, Jewish method of interpreting. It describes the layers of interpretation. And that's P-R-D-S, PARADISE, if you add the vowel markers in yourself mentally. But the idea is that as we interpret the Bible, interpret the Tanakh, you will find paradise. It's very clever, very cute. I like it. Now, the Peshatist route of interpretation is letting the text speak for itself. That is, the plain sense, straightforward meaning of the text, in context, is what it means. We desperately need that. Vast differences exist between denominations and religions precisely over the process of interpretation. Precisely because other layers of interpretation leak into the process, and we end up with these vast and frankly speculative statements of faith. And we use those statements of faith to separate ourselves from other groups and other denominations and other people. These vast differences that divide groups from each other have been true not just in the ancient world, but is true, of course, in the modern era, where people on the internet divide themselves up in tribes. That includes cancel culture and includes your opinion on COVID and includes all kinds of things that we separate ourselves on based on interpretation. We can see that in the Jewish tradition, that Second Temple period, post-Second Temple period, that restoration period with Ezra the scribe, that had an influence on how groups were formed. That group during the Persian period ended up becoming called the Pharisees, or Parsees. That's where it came from. It was during the Persian period. That Pharisee group, of course, is the bad guy in the New Testament, by and large, though there's more nuance to that than people give credit to. The Pharisees aren't necessarily the bad guys, especially the ones in the north in the New Testament. But that group, from Ezra the scribe, these are the ones that ended up thinking and setting how do we interpret the text and thinking about the text and thinking about the Torah and the prophets and the writings. There was a vast growth in literature and thinking that we end up calling rabbinic literature. And it ranges about 800 years, and that becomes the basis for the Talmuds, which are still here today. Now, that 800-year period or so of thinking and putting literature and text together, that was done by the rabbis in both the Jewish and into the Christian era. And we can think of the Mishnah and the Gemara being prominent ones also after that. There are several other rabbinic works. Those are important periods of time, and they worked on those concepts of how to interpret. Now, at that Peshat level, that plain sense, straightforward meaning of the text does make you something of a minimalist if that's the position that you're going to take. That is the biblicist position. Now, I think that's a good thing. I know that people will literally die on a hill to defend what their sacred beliefs are, and those are people of goodwill. I want to stress that. It isn't like someone grows up and says, forget turning 18 and buying smokes and lotto tickets. I want to be a heretic when I grow up and be in serious error. Nobody does that. It just doesn't happen. So here's an exercise. Look at a few different Jewish traditions and a few different Christian traditions. Most have articles of faith or a statement of belief or etc. How much of that is actually grounded in the text of Scripture, whether it's the Hebrew Bible or the New Testament, in its plain sense, straightforward context? How many of those are actually deductions? Or how many of those are inferences? How many of those are using a text in a contextual way that actually isn't intended? It's not just Christians that do it. It's not just Jews that do it. It's everybody does it. So how do we be more accurate? How do we be more biblical? In Judaism, the Karaite tradition has carved out a place with a heavy focus on the Peshat, or the straightforward, plain sense meaning of a text and context. It isn't that the rabbinic position or interpretation of a passage of Torah is wrong because it's rabbinic. Indeed, they are a prime source and the starting point for understanding. It is that just because it is rabbinic doesn't mean it's right. And I would say that too, just because it's a Karaite interpretation doesn't mean it's right. And just because it's a Christian interpretation, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. Let the text speak for itself. Now, I know that Karaites are small and unheard of in many places, but I do have a soft spot for that segment that just loves the Word of God. That's it. They love the Torah, they love the prophets, and they love the writings. And if you're a Christian, surprise, Jesus and his 12-ish, regularly monotheistic, Torah-centric Jewish disciples did also. Well, this is for another episode, and I've mentioned before, if we had a time machine and traveled back in time to the period of Jesus, that when he was supposed to be active, I would bet my house and yours that the run-of-the-mill Christian would be surprised at how distinctly Jewish he was. After all, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Doesn't exactly mean American snowflakes living 2,000 years later in Berkeley, does it? You know that it was actually said by Jesus because it is so dissimilar to what the church has taught. I'm surprised, frankly, that it even made it into the text of Matthew 15 and wasn't summarily sanitized from the text. Now that is subversive. Peshat is the way. You want to be biblical? The passage means what it means. The plain sense reading, the straightforward understanding, the base meaning is what it means. Then let the passage say what it says, in its own grammar, its own language, idioms, idiolect, context, history, politics. Let it mean what it means. I'm going to tell you a little secret. You don't have to like it. I don't like it all. No one does. Some of the commands are really tough to stomach, and they conflict with our own way of thinking and our own time and our own sense of value and morality and ethics. My approach on that is, don't spit on my face and tell me it's raining. Let the text speak for itself and grapple with it, be changed by it, and change to it. Peshat is the way. That is the biblical, biblicist way of interpreting. The text means what it means. You have to live with it because you didn't write it. We're all just heirs of it. We're the recipients. Who's going to fault you for being a reader? All right. That is the end of this episode. Thanks for being with me. I am your subversive scribe and your intrepid host, Hesh. And as always, stay subversive. Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Support for the Subversive Scribe comes from private subscribers, generous supporters, and a community of inquiring people who are willing to take the biblical texts seriously and subversively. Join the Scriven Insurgents, the private community built for Subversive Scribe podcast subscribers, on our Locals page at subversivescribe.locals.com. Click on Become a Supporter, and for $5 a month as a member of the Scriven Insurgents, you get access to private Subversive Scribe episodes, teaching series, audible commentaries, and exclusive content. Your support makes the Subversive Scribe podcast possible. Join the Scriven Insurgents and stay subversive.